All right, hey. 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 Okay, so I don't know everyone, so I want to know everyone's names, but we have to go fast because there's a lot of people and we have to. Okay, so you start and everyone go real fast, say your name. What's your name?
Mm.
All right. Name? Okay. Okay, yours? Okay, cool. I'm Emily. Okay, hold on, let me figure this out. Also, I'm freaked out about being recorded today, because who hears your voice recorded and hates it? Right? Isn't it so weird? And I feel like I'm going to hear this, and I'm going to think I sound like I just came off the farm, and be really embarrassed about my accent like I'm not already, so that's going to be fun. Okay, so I just want to give an FYI. Since Jim already said you can have the snacks on Friday from junior high, go ahead, help yourself, because now Jim's going to have to pay for them all. So yeah, eat all their snacks. That'll be great. Okay. All right, so just I want you guys to get to know me a little bit before we get started, so I'm going to have a little quiz. And I did this at the junior hires. It was actually way longer, but I did it when I first got here, and it was called Mike or Me. And so I'm going to say a statement. I don't actually have these all written out, so I hope I don't sound silly. But and then you have to guess if it's me, or I'm going to say like a person named Mike or Michael who's famous. Okay, so when I was in high school, I was cut from my high school basketball team. Was that me or Michael Jordan? Just shout out. Okay. When I was 11, I started being in a band with my brothers. Was that me or Michael Jackson? Okay. When I was in fourth grade, I won my school's rap contest. Was that me or Mike Posner? Postner. It was me. What, y'all aren't excited about that? I'm excited about it still. Okay. All right, so I know you guys already heard Jenny's story, but I'm going to talk about, I'm actually going to sit down. Okay, I'm going to talk about my story a little bit before I get started. Okay, so as you can tell, I'm not from around here. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, born and raised, and love it there very, very much. I grew up in a very traditional Southern, like, Christian home. When I give my testimony like Jenny did today, I always start with saying, like, I've been going to church since 9 months before I was born. Get it? Okay, yeah. So, okay, it's cheesy, but it's funny. You know it is. Okay, so yeah. I've been going to church my whole life, every Sunday morning and night and Wednesday, and my parents have actually been divorced, like, most of my life, so I'd be at a different church every Sunday and every other Sunday. And when I got older and could drive and stuff, I started being really, really involved with both youth groups and everything. And it was just, like, really, really important to me to be involved in church because I saw that being good and, like, churchy or whatever was, like, really pleasing to the adults around me in my life. And it was really, really important for me to please people, especially the adults, because with, like, the history of my parents, like, I guess for some reason that just, like, any little kid when, or older kid, when you go through that, I think you kind of blame yourself. So, I think for my whole life, it's been, like, I have to make them happy, I have to make them happy, because I've already done something that, like, messed everything up, so I was, like, really good all the time and did everything I could to just, like, show that to them. And then when I got older and was in high school, I started noticing that, like, it wasn't really that cool to be super good. So I wanted to be cool because, yes, I like to please adults, but I also just want to please everybody in the whole entire world, which is exhausting. If you've ever tried it, you know, don't try it if you haven't, because it will never work. But, so I started kind of hanging around with just everyone in high school, and even though, I was, like, good, I wasn't, like, doing anything that was, like, questionable. I would hang out with people when they were doing other things. So I just became, like, the cool friend that could be used as a buffer. So, like, if kids were trying to do something and they knew their parents wouldn't want them to go with these certain people or whatever, they'd be like, well, Emily's coming. And then the parents are all of a sudden like, okay, then it's fine because, like, I was good, right? Okay. So that was, like, great. I love that everybody liked me so much because who doesn't? So I really, really got good at that. But then I have this sister. She's a little more than a year younger than me, and she is absolutely opposite from me in every single way possible. Like, you'd meet her, and I think you guys might get to meet her sometime in March, which would be awesome, but you'll meet her, and you'll know right away. I won't even have to be with her. You'll know she's my sister, because we look alike, we sound alike. It's kind of scary. I'm sorry there are two of me. But she's totally different in me in the people pleasing. Like, she does not care what people think at all. Like, I've never seen anything like it before, and I've been jealous my whole life. Like, she absolutely doesn't care. So I just remember, like, I always spent my whole life kind of fixing where Tiffany would, like, mess up, because, like, she'd do something to make Dad mad, so I'd go back and, like, brush over it and fix it real quick because I didn't want Dad to be mad. And that was just, like, kind of our whole life. And my junior year of college, which was about 3 years ago, our lives changed a lot. Like, a lot of really hard things happened, and most of it had to do with her. And it was just a chance that God was, like, just really using her to teach our family a lot, because I, like, obviously what I described as my Christian background was really legalistic, and, like, that's kind of how my whole family was. Like, we've all just kind of grown up that way, and so he was using her and the things that were going on in her life to really shape us all, and now we're on the other end of it, and things are great, and so it's such a blessing. But at first, when all that was happening, like, all I could think about was, like, how can I fix this? This is bigger than I've ever had to worry about fixing before, so what am I going to do? And just spent a lot of time, like, trying to fix it until suddenly I was like, okay, this isn't working. So that's something that, and finally let God work, but that's something that comes along with my pleasing people, is trying to fix things that aren't pleasing. Another thing that's really bad is, like, I don't let myself cope with things. Like, I don't let myself mourn over bad things. So when things were going on, it was really hard. Like, this was something that my whole family was, like, sad over and taking time to, like, hurt. And I wouldn't, because I'm just, like, I'm from Nashville, but I grew up in this, like, little small area called Portland, and it's, like, everyone's, like, knows your business and everything goes on. So I spent that time being, like, making sure everyone knew, like, everything's okay, we're okay, God is just using this, which is true, but, like, I was saying those things because I wanted everyone to think we're okay, like, nothing's wrong, and because I do that, I don't ever get to cope with, like, bad things in my life, which is hard because then, like, later you blow up and freak out, and that's even worse. Okay, so, yeah, so that's another way, that I just really, kind of just, like, I guess, like, reap the repercussions of my people-pleasing. So, I'm not just boring y'all with, well, maybe I'm boring y'all with my story, but there's a reason. So, it will come back in a minute. All right, so, does everyone have Bibles? Can we have Jim and Rolana? If you don't have a Bible, will you raise your hand? All right, does everyone have a Bible? Does everyone have a Bible?
Yep.
Yep, okay. Can you turn to chapter 11, please? John, where have you people been? Well, wake up. Okay. Also, I want to say, I had coffee this morning. I never drink coffee, so my body is freaking out. So if I start dancing or something, please excuse me. I'm sorry. Okay. All right, so this is really long. We're going through all of John, so we cannot read it all because we do not have time for that. And I'm already going to go over, so I hope you're happy about that because it's going to be fun. All right, so I'm going to kind of summarize different sections, and then we'll, like, read parts of those sections. Okay. Wait, hold on. Let me get out. Okay. All right. So, in verses 1 through 16, oops, I'm not even turned to the right thing. Okay. Verses 1 through 16. Here's what's going on. Okay. So, there's this family in Bethany, and they're mentioned a couple times in the Bible. And Jesus is, like, really, really good friends with them. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm from a small area of Nashville, and, like, I've kind of known the people I went to school with and everything my whole entire life. And I have a couple friends where we went to kindergarten together and college and just stayed friends forever and ever and ever. And their families are, like, my families. Like, I'm very, very close. I have this one friend, Courtney, and she has three sisters. And literally, I feel like her sisters are my sisters. One of them rode across the country with me in January when I came back here from Christmas, and just, like, really close, and I feel like they're my family. So that's what we have. A lot of us have that in our lives, and that's what we're dealing with here. Jesus is friends with these people, and their names are Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. So Lazarus is dying. This is happening 1 through 16, I think I said that. Lazarus is dying. So Mary and Martha send Jesus a message and let them know that he's dying. So then Jesus decides to stay a couple days, which makes no sense to me, but he does. And then later, he's like, okay, time to go now. And so they leave. And his people are like, well, you shouldn't, because people are trying to stone you, so that's not really smart. And he's like, but Lazarus is asleep. And they're like, okay, then he'll wake up. And then he's like, actually, no, he's dead. So they go. All right, that's what's happening. Okay, so can I have one person, actually, I'm going to pick George. Will you please read verses 3 through 6? And, oh, I hear that y'all do accents or something. And if you don't want to do this, it's fine, but you can, I'm giving you permission to talk in my accent if you want to today. But if not, you don't have to. But it's 3 through 6. Okay. All right, thanks. Sorry. Y'all distracted me so much. Okay. So, in verse 3, it says, he whom you love. Okay, so that's enough to tell us right there that this is serious. Like, we see him heal, like, a random man's son. We see him heal a random blind man and a random lame man, whatever. This time we see him, this is about, that we don't know what happened yet, but this is about someone he loves. Okay, so that's important. You would think, like, that's different in your head, right? Okay. And then, okay, in verse 4, it says, it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Okay, so we already know that something important is going to happen. Like, it's for the glory of God. He's not just healing someone. It's not that any of them were important, but you know. Okay. And then again, let's pay attention again. In verse 5, it says, he loved them. Again, so he really loves these people. But then in 6, it says he stays. So now I'm, like, really confused. Like, I know that if it was me, and I got a phone call, and someone, like, right now, even if my phone's right here, and if it starts ringing, and someone tells me that someone I love back home is dying, well, I'm going to say see ya all later, and I'm going to go home, because someone I love is dying, right? And also, with, like, obviously he knows everything's fine, because verse 4 tells us that, like, he knows it's going to be fine. But even with that, like, my people-pleasing part of me would have been like, but Mary and Martha will think I'm not coming, and they'll be upset with me, and da-da-da, so I'm going to go. And so we just see here just, like, being Jesus once again, like, being strong and doing these things that we would never do, which is awesome. But pay very close attention, because we're going to see him be very human later, and that's fun to see. Okay, so now skip ahead to verse 17 through 27. Okay, yeah, just look at it. I'm just going to summarize it real quick. Okay, he gets there. I cannot spell. Okay, he gets there, and Lazarus has already been in the tomb for how many days? I want to make sure y'all are paying attention. 4 days. Okay, he's already been in the tomb for 4 days. Mary runs up. Wait. Martha runs up. Well, they both do eventually, but Martha runs up and is upset. obviously, because her brother is dead. And then Martha and Jesus have just this little time of talking about, well, theology, basically, and it gets real intense. So can I have someone read verses 21 through 27, actually? Grace, are you okay with reading? Okay, 21 through 27. Okay, cool. Thank you so much. All right, so what's going on here is they start talking about Jesus, like, as a son and being the resurrection and all this theological stuff. And Jesus, basically what goes on here is they're talking about what Jesus has been telling people all this time. But, like, we always see him talking to people and telling them all this stuff, and then at the end, like, some of them hate him, and some of them accept him, and it's, like, good, great, amazing. I taught the junior high kids that every time at the end of a little passage when we see, like, people accepted him, to be, like, really excited, because that's really awesome, because, like, we get excited here when we have, like, a new brother and sister in Christ, but we should get excited when it happened in the Bible, too. Anyways, that's a side note. But here we see, like, Jesus talking to someone about it. It's not just, like, here's this stuff, and people are like, oh, that's really cool. Like, they are, I don't know, I just think it's really cool to see Mary's faith here, and like, yeah, I know you did this, even after her brother did just died, which is just, I don't know, it's crazy. So, it also makes me wonder in this, like, is he teaching us a new lesson? Like, is he really not going to do a miracle this time and show us that we are to still love him and he still loves us even when something bad happens? All right, so then we move on to the famous Jesus weeps part of the Bible. And in verse 28 through 37, Mary comes up. So Mary is this emotional girl, okay? So every time in the Bible, she is just always at Jesus' feet, which is awesome. But she's just kind of like, Martha is the one that's got it together. And Mary is like just all over the place. And they kind of remind me of me and my sister. Like, I'm definitely Martha, like, let's do everything right. And then she's like Mary, like, okay, I'm just going to cry all the time and everything's crazy. So that now we got Mary, and she runs up and she's crying and freaking out. And they have a similar conversation, but hers is, like, kind of less hopeful. So we see Jesus then get really sad because, like, he sees this person he loves, like we've been told a few times that he loves them, just be sad over this loss. So here also, because Jesus isn't trying to please people, we talked about later, he took his time because he's not trying to please people. Here he's also, like, letting himself cope. Like, he's Jesus, and we're like, why are you sad? Like, you're Jesus. But he's, like, letting himself be sad, even though he knows everything's going to be okay. So, I kind of just answered my question, but whatever. Okay, can I have Santos? Hi. Can you read 32 through 35? You look like you're paying attention, so. Okay, cool. Thank you. All right, so we see here Jesus wept. So my question, you really, if you want to answer it, you can. I'm going to try to get you guys in small groups because I really want you to go to small groups. But we see, like, Jesus wept. And so think about, like, why does he do that when he knows everything's going to be okay? Yeah. All right. So the last part is, well, not the last part, but the last part I'm going to talk about is the resurrection. And so I'm just going to talk about that real quick. So basically what happens is Jesus goes and he tells Lazarus, they, like, open the tomb and they're like, oh, it's going to stink. He's like, eh, that doesn't really matter. Open it anyways. And then he tells Lazarus to come out. Something I love, and I hope that you guys talk about this extra deep in small groups today and Wednesday about this, is just, like, this is a real picture of what happens to us. Like, it seems as a picture of, like, Jesus, like, later does this. He dies and rises again. But this is really a picture of, like, what happens to us when, like, we accept Jesus into our lives. And so this is just, like, I don't know. This is such a great, like, we talk about in life, we have relationships, like husband and wife and things like that, that give us a picture, a real life picture of what our relationship with God is supposed to be like. And this is a real life picture of, like, what happens to us when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, to save our lives, and we accept him into our hearts, which is really cool. Yeah. So, with all of that said, I'm going to pray. Well, okay, yeah. I'm going to pray, and then you guys can go to small groups for a few minutes. All right. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for today. I thank you for my time with the high schoolers, and I just pray that you're with them as they go into their small groups, and I pray that it's a time glorifying to you, and I pray all these things in your holy and precious name. Amen.